Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Hopefully everybody's having a great day. I'm telling you what, man, the wind will almost blow you off the road this morning. Did you detect that?
Oh, yeah. Two hands on the wheel today.
Yeah. This is it's absolutely what you have to do this morning. I went outside, and the first thing I noticed was my American flag standing at attention, whipping around because the wind was blowing so hard. And then as every flagpole I passed on the way downtown, same thing. And it doesn't help that it's 39 degrees, so there's definitely a bit of a wind chill out there.
This is also the day you just should not even bother doing your hair, because if you're going to spend any time outside, it's not going to look great.
Well, you just complimented my hair.
I did. I thought you got a haircut.
I did not. Last week, see? Don't you hate that when you come in and your work wife tells you your hair looks nice, but you got to cut a week ago? Where have you been?
I'm so sorry.
Not do that to her.
I am so sorry that I did not acknowledge your haircut last week.
I know. I would be, as a husband, I would be in trouble if I did that. I'm just saying that. Gee, honey, did you get your hair cut? Yeah, 3 days ago. Uh-oh. Yeah, we know that's the truth. You know, yesterday morning here on the show, I mentioned to Kim that I'm not going to keep belaboring this fact that my daughter did a diaper drive, and she helped out a local women's shelter, and we delivered the diapers this week, and they were very grateful for it and all of that. And sometimes you don't realize the impact you have on people when you tell stories like that. A longtime listener who no longer lives in the area, who lives in South Carolina, reached out to me yesterday on Facebook Messenger. Didn't want any publicity for it at all, and I'm not going to mention him by name. But after hearing me talk about that story, they went to Our Ladies Inn, the website for the women's shelter there in South City, and made a contribution and then set it up as an ongoing contribution to that shelter.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
I'm assuming Ginger knows about this now.
I forgot. I told her mother last night, and I forgot to tell her, but I'll be sure and pass that along today when I finally see her. She rolled in right before I went to bed last night.
I think it's so easy, yeah. Especially just working in radio when you're not getting to see face-to-face who's listening and how they're responding to some of the things that we're saying. And to hear that was the reaction from someone who doesn't even live here in Missouri, who felt compelled to go donate. I think that's just so incredible.
Honestly, I mean, he lived here for a long time and felt moved to go contribute money to help out with what they're trying to do down there for women who, you know, have children and don't have a lot of resources, and they provide shelter, and then they continue to support those women for up to 2 years once they're no longer living there, with supplies like diapers and things like that. So that's putting your money where your mouth is. There's no doubt about that. And thank you very much for doing that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Coming up, we got a good show for you today. We're gonna talk to Tom Ackerman just a little bit later. Jim Towne is going to be in here. The Francis Howell School District is going to be on the show again today. A situation has reared its ugly head again, sort of like what's going on in Congress. I thought that Speaker Mike Johnson pretty much spelled this out earlier in the week. I mean, I ran the soundbite. I know you heard it, where he said, well, I'm just to be really clear, a man can't be a woman and a woman can't be a man, when talking about the bathroom policy in the nation's capital. It just seems like such common sense. And the fact that there are people in this country who angrily fight you about this on social media mystifies me. It really does. You want the 99.9% of people who are not affected by this to be uncomfortable to accommodate the 0.1%. I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
They do a really good job, that side that wants you to accommodate them. They do a fantastic job of making you feel, though, like you're the only one who's against them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They really have been effective at that.
You're oppressive. You're mean. You just don't understand. Yeah, I understand.
And you know, that's the crowd that shows up to these school board meetings.
Yes.
And they are loud. They have their signs. And I think the other side, we need representation. And I'm saying that, I'm almost telling myself that, too.
There is a Francis Howell school board meeting tonight, and this issue will be raised at tonight's Francis Howell school board meeting. There is a situation that was brought to my attention, and I've confirmed it through three different people who are in the district, that at Francis Howell High, there is a 6 foot, 1 inch, 200 pound male who thinks he's a female who's been using the women's bathrooms. Now, as a parent, if it was my daughter's school and she does not go there, I would be at that meeting tonight screaming at the board and the superintendent to do something about that before I had to. There seems to be a hesitation to do that. I don't know why exactly, but a little later in the show, we're going to hear from a couple of those parents, a couple of people that have parents, parents who have kids in that school district, Francis Howell, and who I suspect will be at that school board meeting tonight. There was also in the same post, it mentioned some girls at Francis Howell Central who routinely go into the boys' bathroom. It seems to be a little bit of a problem district-wide that could easily be fixed with a bathroom policy, which they still haven't passed.
Are these girls using the boys' bathroom because they simply want to, or
no? I think they identify as boys, and
there's that many people now where there's multiple girls.
Social contagion is
what really
it is.
It's become like a new trendy thing.
Yeah, we'll get a few more details on that. We're going to do that today in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to get them on the air about 7:35. So be sure and stick around for that. Or mark your clock and tune back in if you can. We're up on all the socials this morning, live on Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. You can get on there. I'll still call it Twitter, X, whatever you want to say. Or on the Odyssey app. You can always follow us there. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
With that, Mr. Barr, if you will please stand. Count one, malice murder. I sentence you to life without the possibility of parole.
Yeah, the death penalty was not asked for in this situation. I don't understand, but I've got an idea. How about a policy where when any non-citizen murders a United States citizen, the death penalty is automatic?
We lost the election. We're miserable. Half of this country is miserable. And let's just tell the truth. We hate that he won. We hate it.
Yeah. Joy Behar. Not much joy there, do you think? Just the sound of her voice is really like taking nails and raking them down a chalkboard for me now. But I play it for you because somebody's got to do it.
DNI. Department of National Intelligence. This is not a place for a Russian, Iranian, Syrian, Chinese sympathizer.
Bitter, bitter, green with envy, Nikki Haley has gone on the attack against Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that she got the door slammed in her face after being such a turncoat during the primary election?
What do you think of Bryson's clubhead speed compared to my clubhead speed?
I don't know. I think yours is a little faster, honestly. I think you hit way farther than him.
That's right, honey. Thank you.
Donald Trump on a telephone call recorded with his granddaughter, mm-hmm. Kai, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking about Bryson DeChambeau, the U.S. Open winner and professional golfer. And Trump thinks his clubhead speed at 78, she's trying to, I don't know, boost her grandpa's ego, if that's possible.
Still in the will.
Yeah, by claiming that his clubhead speed is faster than that of a professional golfer. Maybe it was tongue-in-cheek. I don't know.
I don't know. But I do really like some of these videos that Kai Trump, Trump's granddaughter, has released. She's doing a vlog, and the first video that I saw she released was from election night. And it was some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't get to see. You know, we always see the typical sound bites from Trump, but some of these interactions that, well, including the one you just heard, that she's posted, I don't know. I really enjoy hearing that side of Trump when he's like, hey, sweetie.
Yeah. It's certainly a different side than we normally see, right? The gruff guy who's compared to being Hitler and a fascist and all of that nonsense by the left.
I wish that more of that had been pushed out during the campaign. Laura Trump did a good job of that. She was posting some really sweet videos to Instagram and, I guess, other social media accounts. But how many people would really see that? Because if you're not following him, and if you think he's Hitler, you're probably not following him, then you would never have seen that side of him.
But if you think he's Hitler, you could go to Mar-a-Lago and meet with him afterwards.
That's true. I guess that's what happens, right? That makes complete sense.
Only if you're Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski do you get the opportunity to do that. Man, the left is angry with them. The right is laughing at them. I guess no publicity is bad publicity, but they're certainly getting a lot of it from either direction right now.
Well, could the future of their show now be, in question?
I heard there's talk about that network being broken up or split up or sold off or something. And that's always a possibility in any media job. There's no question about that. Scarborough hinted at it yesterday, and I'll get to more on that for you coming up here at some point this morning, maybe when we come back from this break. Carl Middleman, who has our national anthem today?
So, Mark, normally I would do Jeremy Boyer, but the last two times we've played the national anthem with Jeremy.
Yes.
They've lost.
Oh, no.
So I told him the other day that I was not going to do that to him again.
That's okay, Jeremy. We still love you.
So I'm going to play Prashard Owens, who is this year's national anthem singer. So that's going to help them win tonight.
Good.
You know what's in the air, Whoopi?
What's
Trumpism. We lost the election. Wait a minute. We lost the election. We're miserable. Half of this country is miserable. And let's just tell the truth. We hate that he won. We hate it. And everybody's uptight and crazy right now.
Yeah. How much hate would you get if that was your, if that was a conservative and Kamala had actually won the election?
Are you going back to Kamala?
I am. Yeah. Kamala. Yeah, can you imagine going on saying, we're miserable. We hate it. We hate that he won. Sonny Hostin says, I don't hate the people that voted for him. I just hate the fact that this is the future of our country. I mean, it was just a cry fest. And Whoopi Goldberg, I don't ever want to give her credit for anything, was trying to say, you know what, we can survive this. We can move on. We've lived through it before, blah, 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 blah. No, Joy Behar, there's no joy in Joyland. There's no joy at all. She got no joy out of the loss of Kamala. Kamala.
I mean, again, we lived through 4 years of Joe Biden.
You. And 8 years of Barack Obama. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. I'm going to point this out because elections have consequences. And not running for re-election has consequences in the state of Missouri. I posted this up on the Facebook page yesterday, but it really needs a little bit of extra attention. And this is what I wrote, because there's a story in the Post yesterday that Caleb Rowden, the former leader of the Missouri Senate last year, the one that killed IP reform, the one that gave you, because of that action, abortion on demand up until birth in the state of Missouri. That's the only reason that happened. It failed in Florida because they have a little bit steeper requirement for initiative petitions. We could have had that in Missouri, but no. Because Caleb Rowden's lobbyist supporters didn't want it to pass, so he killed it. And he termed out, and he chose not to run for some other statewide office. Why? Because the lucrative job of working for one of the state's top lobbyists was dangling in front of him, I don't know, maybe as a payoff for killing IP reform. I don't know how he got this job, except the fact that he was the former leader of the Missouri Senate. And I wrote this yesterday on Facebook, and it's absolutely the truth. The biggest problem with the Missouri legislature in this state is the incestuous nature between current officials and former leaders turned lobbyists. They prioritize their financial gain over the public's wishes. The lobbyists don't want IP reform because they make tons of money when hundreds of millions of dollars flows into Missouri from outside of the state. They hire lobbyists to work for them. They don't want IP reform. They don't want it to be harder to change the Constitution. They don't care what happens to the Constitution as long as they get rich. The rejection of IP reform was driven by lobbying interests. And now the former Senate leader will directly reap financial rewards lobbying alongside Steve Tilley, who's the biggest lobbyist and most powerful one in the state of Missouri. And the question may be, what's the obvious question here, Kim? Well, why don't we just stop this? Mm-hmm. Why don't we put a 5-year requirement is once you leave the legislature, you got to wait 5 years before you can lobby the legislature.
The same reason we wouldn't do that is the same reason why we're allowing millions of dollars from outside groups to funnel into Missouri to fund, you know, Amendment 3 abortion here.
You know why we can't do that? You know why we can't ban that kind of incestuous activity? Because the lobbyists won't allow it. The lobbyists control what happens in Jeff City, not the Republican supermajority. And that's one way to fix the state right there. Put a 5-year ban on lobbying after you leave the legislature, and you would at least impact that situation a little bit. But don't worry, the lobbyists won't let that happen. We'll be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
I wonder how many people realize that the 3 of the 4 branches of the U.S. military have failed to meet recruiting goals. Some of them for consecutive years in a row.
Yes.
The Army missed its 2023 goal of 65,000 recruits by 11,000 soldiers. The Army has fallen short of its recruiting goal for the last 2 years. Navy didn't make it. The Air Force didn't make it. The only one that did was the Marine Corps.
How about Space Force?
Space Force did as well.
They made it.
Because
that's
it.
Really cool. It'd be really cool to have the little Star Trek symbol on your chest. Don't you think, Carl? Carl would love that. You love Star Trek.
You can like both, Mark. You can
okay.
like Sammy and Van Halen.
So if you like
Dave.
Star Wars, you're also not supposed to like...
No, but you can't tease Carl about that. He's a Star Wars fan, not as much of a Star Trek fan. But I think, like you said, he can like them both.
You can like both. You like Sammy and Dave, don't you?
I do.
It sounds
right.
like this might need to be a...
I'm sorry, go ahead,
topic
Kim.
...for another day. I didn't know this was intruded. So controversial to like both of them.
I'm sorry that he has uprooted your topic.
That's okay, Carl. Thank you for apologizing on his behalf. I appreciate that.
I'm apologizing for it.
Well, you have to wonder what the driving force is behind that. I would argue a lot of it's the woke policies that we've seen, the leadership that has made just terrible decisions. We've watered down, softened the standards, really, on what it takes to become, you know, an honorable service member here in our country. And I think that has been a big turnoff for a lot of people. And something that people might realize, and in fact, I learned this yesterday because my parents and I, we meet every Wednesday, and we've been talking about history because I kind of have this new interest in it. I didn't care about it in high school. I didn't really pay attention, if I'm being honest. And so we've been talking about a lot of things. And we were talking about General MacArthur and how he led troops in the South Pacific against Japan in World War II. And talking about this speech that he gave to West Point cadets back in, I believe, 1964. And he was talking about West Point's motto, which has been really crucial to West Point since the late 1800s. And I want you to listen to part of that speech from General MacArthur.
Duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. They are your rallying points. To build courage when courage seems to fail.
That speech is actually worth watching. So he's talking about duty, honor, country. 1898 is when it became West Point's motto, and I believe it was 1998 when it first was put into the mission statement. Well, back in March of this year, West Point removed that.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people realize that, and it might not seem like a big deal. Oh, who cares, Kim? It's just three words, whatever. But I think it is a big deal because I think it's just indicative of where we are as a country as it relates to our military. And I think that duty, honor, country, I mean, those are things that drive people to want to join the military. And I think in a lot of ways we've lost that. And I'm hoping that Trump being reelected is going to change that. He's really emphasized bolstering recruiting and retention, which obviously is key. And I'm really hopeful that people have this newfound pride in our country and that it's going to encourage people to go join the military again.
I think it will change. I will say I had a conversation with a West Point graduate about this. In fact, it's funny. His brother just texted me and he's listening to us while sitting in a deer stand this morning, waiting for daylight to come through. And he told me that he is not bothered by that change because the message of what they preach at Westport in his West Point, in his opinion, has not changed. So when that news first broke that they had changed that again, he thought that each new commandant had a little bit different approach to it, and it wasn't that. He didn't think that was a driver of the change. But to your point, when you've got academies, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, when you've got these academies forcing cadets to go through DEI training, teaching them political correctness instead of putting them on the firing range and teaching them to hit targets, that does change the attitude and the morale of your troops. And I don't blame people for having a hesitancy to want to walk into a mess like that. Mm-hmm. The military, there's no reason ever for the military to be a social petri dish for the left. There's just not. That's not. It's there for one purpose. That's to save the country. That's to kill our enemies. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And we could
How
be, thanks to Joe Biden and allowing Ukraine to use U.S. long-range missiles in Russia, we are inching closer, in my opinion, to World War III. I don't think we're there yet, but I mean, that's just one step forward to that possibly happening right before Trump takes office. And it is so crucial that we have a very, very strong military. And I don't know. I'm really hopeful that things are going to change and that when we are talking about this in a couple years that we're going to say, wow, you know, everyone met their recruiting goals.
A couple years ago, I played a current recruiting video that had been put out by the Army. You picked the gender, some gender bender recruit talking about how diverse the military was these days. And I contrasted it to, of course, you had to have somebody explaining translating the language, but it was a Russian military video promoting their military, and it was all, you know, huffing, puffing, doing push-ups, shooting things, blowing things up. I mean, it was a sharp contrast. And I'm thinking to myself, if two recruits were watching these two things, which military would they want to join? I'm not saying Americans would join the Russian military, but it was a sharp contrast. And that's where you've gone with Barack Obama and then Joe Biden in charge of the military and the people they've appointed. So
yes,
the big change that will happen in the military is when Donald Trump, Secretary of Defense, walks in and starts purging those military leaders who push that nonsense. They got rid of all the ones that disagreed with them when Biden got in.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Trump's turn.
Right. And Pete Hegseth, I believe, really will do that.
Yes.
I think he is, from what I've heard of him so far, I'll admit I was not super familiar with him, but it sounds like he has the experience to do it, to go in there and clean house where it needs to be cleaned.
You know, I see people downplaying his ability to lead. They said 3 months into his tenure as Secretary of Defense, he'd still be looking for the bathroom in the Pentagon. Like, he doesn't understand what he's up against. There's civilian oversight of the military for a reason. And the very left who feared that the military is going to be used to hunt them down because they disagreed with Donald Trump should be thankful about that. That there's civilian oversight of the military. You don't need a general, a former general, who is in the highest ranks of leadership, then being the Secretary of Defense. That defies the logic of it. And then you end up with someone like Lloyd Austin, who lies to his boss and the American people when he's incommunicado for 2 weeks because he's in the hospital getting cancer treatment.
Didn't even tell anybody. Right. Imagine if anything had happened. Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's just such a double standard. So I'm feeling hopeful that Trump's going to turn things around, that people are going to have this renewed pride in our country and maybe want to join the military so that we can build it up and get rid of all this DEI nonsense.
Speaking of which, and you chided me a little bit for this yesterday in an email, how did we miss a celebration of Transgender Awareness Week? Wasn't that this week?
No, it was. I want to make sure you get this right because it's really important, Mark.
Okay.
It was Transgender Remembrance Day, I believe, yesterday. And I don't know if we have Sarah McLachlan music that we can play, Carl, but I think we really need to acknowledge that, Mark.
As opposed to awareness, it was remembrance.
I'm sorry, you know what? It's actually called Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Who are you remembering? The ones that went and got mental health help and
It says it honors the memory of the transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of lives that were lost in acts of anti-transgender violence.
Okay. Would that be the girl that shot up the school in Nashville and then got killed by the police?
I think so. Yeah.
Went nuts.
Because remember, the victims she killed in that heinous act, they don't matter. The children who were killed, a staff member, I believe. We need to remember the transgender person who was clearly mentally ill and went in and shot up the school.
Woo. Or non-binary or whatever new word.
We have to be politically correct.
I know. No, we don't. All right, let's get to a quick break here. We're going to give away some Guns and Hoses tickets next hour. We'll get Tommy Ackerman in studio. You'll forgive him as a little distracted today by the football game that will be taking place this weekend. Maybe he and I get to put a little side bet on that one because I grew up an Ohio State fan. So maybe we'll put a little side bet on that. Loser has to buy whatever the other person wants out of the little convenience store we have in the kitchen.
Loser buys Kim breakfast.
Oh, you think? There you go. We'll talk
that
to
way
him.
I win either way.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Steve Daines. My pronouns are Republican majority. I have a simple message for Chuck Schumer and for Bob Casey. It's over. Dave McCormick is the next U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania. Senator Casey has taken election denial to another level, but it didn't work. Despite losing by nearly 20,000 votes, despite the fact the AP and Decision Desk have called the race for Dave McCormick, Senator Casey is refusing to concede.
Yeah, thank you, Steve Daines, for going up and pointing this out. You know, this is the case in Pennsylvania where the Supreme Court had to step in and basically take a hammer and hit these elections officials in the head with it and say, what the hell are you doing? We've already explained to you, you can't count these ballots. And they were counting them anyway. Remember the elections official in Bucks County who said, I'm going to do it anyway because nobody else pays any attention to the law. Remember this? Listen to
precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it. And there is nothing more important than counting votes.
The court did pay attention to it. They told you that you were dead wrong. And you get, these are not ballots that count. If there's no signature, if there's no date, you can't count these ballots. I mean, it is possible to be too stupid to vote. That's what you have to understand. You can't fix stupid. Okay? The rules are very clear, right on the envelope of what you need to do if you're going to absentee vote. And if you skip those things, your vote is invalidated, and the court has confirmed that. So that same lady came back out, who's apparently now afraid of a lawsuit, and apologized about this yesterday. Listen.
We all say things that are out of turn. We all make mistakes. I made a mistake. And because I am an elected official, I am held to a far higher standard than everybody else.
Didn't you think about that ahead of time, before you looked into a camera full of people and said, courts make a mistake, people violate the law all the time, and I'm going to go ahead and do this because I think all the votes should count?
The answer is no, or she did, and she just doesn't care because she's that angry. It sounded like that last soundbite that you were playing, it was as if she was about to cry.
It did. Well, people were at the commission meeting railing on her for defying the court and trying to keep, you know, producing votes, harvesting votes for Bob Casey, who's lost. He's still down 20 or 25,000 votes. I forget what the total was. It's over. This is what Steve Daines was saying. My pronouns are Republican majority.
I love that.
I thought that was pretty good yesterday. And even if Casey kept his job, they'd still have a majority. But it was pretty sweet. I mean, he chaired one of the, I don't know which committee it was, but it was a pretty big one. And to have him get beat in a general like that in a state where they told you it was going to be razor thin. I mean, he did only get beat by 20,000 votes out of probably millions cast, but still, they lost. You know, that's the other story. They found more votes somewhere in Missouri, and now like the margin for Amendment 2 on the sports betting is down to like 700 votes. Out of the millions cast statewide, it's a guaranteed recount. It's automatically going to trigger a recount. It's razor thin. Wouldn't that be something if that got overturned and DraftKings had wasted all that money? Wow. Something. We'll keep an eye on it for you. Next hour, we'll give away some more Guns and Hoses tickets. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.